Here is another episode of Subscription Radio, and today our guest is the man Tim Masick from 1-800-D2C. Tim, thanks a lot for coming on the show. Appreciate being here.
No, you got it. Great to connect and love what you're doing with Rodeo, as mentioned. And yeah, happy to get into it, talk all things subscription and about this crazy world of D2C.
Right. Well, I think part of what's cool about just like digging into your background before we even jumped on the call was, you know, in addition to being the founder of 1-800-D2C, you also are a director of growth. You've done growth marketing like for years, even leading before this. I'm curious, like, first off, in this conversation, I do want to keep it around like subscription experiences and like what you've been seeing work and not work. But I do think you have a really interesting, unique vantage point as someone who effectively is aggregating D2C brands and then looking at what's the technology they're using. Yeah, I'm curious of what types of information are you even collecting, practically speaking, that's interesting for people who might not realize, because you know, you're seeing how many page views certain D2C brands are getting. I don't know if you're doing anything with that information, but I would imagine there's probably maybe even some lessons, at least just at a even at a vanity level, that would be interesting.
There's a lot of lessons that come from 1-800-D2C. And I mean, just maybe backtracking a little bit on the 1-800-D2C side, the whole reason I created that business was because as a growth operator, I had to make a lot of decisions for the e-commerce brands that I worked with on what would be their stack. And so that includes subscription, but it was also things like reviews or what do I use for SMS, customer support, etc. And actually, a lot of the e-com founders that I worked with were quite clueless on that stuff. And that's not a knock on them. It's just, you know, when you're starting out your e-com business, you should probably be focused on your product and building a good team, et cetera, those key foundational elements before you start thinking about the stack. And so I was able to jump in and kickstart those conversations around what would be the right stack. That was where I came from. And my objective was always to stay on top of what these different tools were. And so if you're on Twitter, you'll see that there's just like new tools every other day and it's hard to keep track. And if you're not on Twitter, well, you should definitely spend more time on Twitter, but you end up on demo calls, speaking with lots of different vendors and trying to make sense of what's what. And so I thought it was really difficult to look through the information. And so 1-800-D2C was a way to categorize what are the different tools used by these different great businesses that we look up to and use that to shortcut the path to making a decision on a tool. So that's a long-winded way of saying, like, you know, for me, I'm able to see now via 1-800-D2C, and so is everybody else, as on a macro level, like, what's the most popular subscription solution or what's the most popular SMS solution? And you can use that as a starting point. And then you can also look at what the greats like Jot Coffee are doing to supplement that information with extra insights.
I'm curious because I think, as I recall, it's self-reported information. So it's not like you're going in and using like store leads or some sort of third party where you're effectively detecting the technology. There is some sort of, I guess I'm trying to understand, like, because someone might have an app installed in their store and not actually be using it. So like, what's your process for like, I guess, A, like validating that a brand is actually using the app? And then I was gonna say my follow-up question to that was gonna be, I don't know if you've gotten any qualitative feedback around, well, how much do they actually enjoy using it, right? Like, so if someone's using one product, well, maybe they actually flip and hate it, or they don't know that there's actually a better solution out there. Or, because I'd be curious that like that, those like other levels or of the onion around, yeah, they might be using that, but maybe they shouldn't be. And then what are the things they love about it or hate about it? And anyways, I'll let you answer.
I love that you're saying that, because that's kind of, you know, what you're seeing is 1-800-D2C after 1 year. It's just over a year now in operation, and simple premise that is very useful. And now I want to continue peeling those layers and helping more and more operators find the right tools to use for their business. So I am capturing information in a few different ways. A lot is like by building relationships with tools. Some is by capturing data that's, you know, available on their website. So like they're using Klaviyo, for example. And then you also have brands who I engage with who let me know I'm using this tool and it's really, really awesome. And that's super, super useful, especially for when you start learning about things in the operation stack, which I think is, there's still a lot of obfuscation in terms of what tools are people using for inventory management.
Like back office stuff, yeah.
Yeah, all the back office stuff, which is fascinating. So the next part to your question is around like, are people even using, are they using or are they even enjoying the tools that they've got there?
Right. It's like their NPS score.
Their NPS score. That's something I'd love to somehow showcase via 1-800-DTC. The one thing I'm doing as a, it's not a hacky way to do this, but to give contextual information on how these tools fit into a stack is founder interviews. And those are, I think, the blog posts that get the most traction on 1-800-DTC is when you're speaking to the founder of a supplements business that's using, you know, four or five different tools. They're then going to let me know how they're using those tools and how critical those tools are. I just spoke to one business who's in the skincare game, and she's using this business called Lamaru, very, very cool business. And she's using Octane AI, which, you know, does custom quizzes and all that, a very, very powerful tool, but it actually becomes 10x more powerful once you're able to use those insights from the Octane AI quiz to start tagging customers within Shopify in certain ways, and then passing that information also then into Klaviyo and into Gorgeous. That's all powered via Alloy Automation. And so when you think about a tool like Alloy Automation, yeah, it sounds cool. I see it all over Twitter. People keep raving about it. But how is it actually being used? I want to know.
Right. Like the recipes. Yeah.
Yeah. So you can potentially dig through the customer case studies on the Alloy front, but you might not trust that as much as a founder telling you, walking you through exactly how they're using it from their perspective. So that's, those blog posts really help. And I'm hoping to add more features to the website to help people understand how these different tools play into a business's success.
Got it. Yeah. And that's what's it, like Under the Hood, your Under the Hood series. Is that it?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. I'd read through and I think I read the one about gold, Trinity from Gold.
Yeah, they're super fun. It's super fun. And, you know, founders in the DTC space, well, the DTC space as a whole is a very tight-knit community, as you know, and founders are, they've been helped many times by other founders or other operators. And then once they get to a point where they're starting to get some traction, et cetera, they give back to the community. And I love that about 1-800-DTC is that it's very community focused and people sharing insights with others. That's the one of the big perks of it.
I'm counting how many times you say 1-800-DTC. It's a bit of a mouthful if you have to keep saying it over and over again. It's memorable, which I love. But yeah, and how did you come up with that name?
So I'll give you the short form that I use in text messages with some key partners. It's one and then the letter H, 1H. So if it's too much of a mouthful, you can always just say 1H. But no, 1-800-DTC, the name comes from this inspiration of a Yellow Notes or Yellow Pages directory.
Yeah.
So it's a lot of information in this one book, but it's organized in a neat way and it helps you find the right information. And, you know, it's very like, call this number for help, 1-800-D2C. And so it's just riffing off that idea and pairing it with the Yellow Pages directory.
Got it. No, I dig that. And your website's background is yellow. I don't know if that was intentional or subliminal.
No, very intentional. Very intentional.
And is it just you?
So it's me and I have a lady by the name of Emmy in New York who's helping me out on a more of like a lightweight part-time basis. And so she's great. She helps me with some of the listings, updates, some of the blog posts that we have going on, what's happening on social, et cetera. But yeah, for the most part, it's just me and some extra help in New York.
As of right now, how many brands do you have listed?
I'd have to check the exact number, but we're now well over 1,000 brands. And I say well over, I'm not trying to boast a large number. That's not my intention. My intention is not to just have a ton of brands. It's to actually be a little bit thoughtful about which brands are there. And so I want brands where you'd actually, well, you'd want to know what they're using. I'll go back to the example for Jot, which I know you're working with. Great, great business. You want to know what's the secret sauce behind that business. How are they doing what they're doing? It's not just their stack, but like what's their team composition? How did they fundraise? Who did their design? All those things you'd want to uncover. And therefore, they should be on 1-800-DTC. But if it's a brand that's, you know, just launched another supplement, they're not that interesting beyond the fact that they just launched. They're probably not going to be listed on 1-800-DTC just yet unless they start making big moves.
Got it. Interesting. And so I'm curious of the brands that are on your site, how many of them are you a customer of or have you purchased from?
Well, because it's over 1,000, unless I became like, you know, Bill Gates overnight, I'm not going to be able to purchase from all of them. But I mean, I purchased from a bunch of, you know, Shopify sites or D2C businesses. One that is relevant actually to the subscription space, and I love their subscription experience, is Seed.
Oh, interesting. I haven't heard of them.
They do gut health supplements. Really, really sleek website, sleek brand identity. And yeah, because they're based in the US and they don't ship internationally, I live in London, but I'm here in New York for a few weeks. I've just like, I stocked up big time on Seed to bring back to the UK.
Got it. Right. So there it's a probiotic. I just Googled it, right?
Yeah, that's right.
Very interesting. What do you like about the experience? Is it the subscription experience? Is it the, like, what is it specifically?
So for me, on the subscription side, what's interesting about Seed, there's a couple other businesses like that, but I get really interested or intrigued by businesses like Seed from a subscription standpoint because they're subscription only. And subscription only, I think, is a really, really strong position to be in because it focuses your entire business on delivering the best subscription experience possible. And it like makes the communications around your brand very, very crisp. Everything you do when it comes to, you know, ads, social posts, etc., it's always going to drive to subscription. And as soon as you start introducing subscription plus one-off purchases, the message gets a little bit more diluted. Now, most businesses that are using subscription have a one-off purchase, you know, option. So it's actually quite unique to only have subscription only. And I'm not suggesting that people should go subscription only, but I've always been fascinated by that model. I think it's a really, really strong position to be in if you've got a strong proposition like Seed does. So, you know, to answer your question, that is what I find quite remarkable about Seed is their like complete devotion to being a subscription only business.
Yeah. I mean, it's interesting because like I've had this conversation with a few of the people in the show around, you know, when someone first, it's like a big ask to have someone subscribe without them using the product, right? Because most of us want to try something before we decide to keep it. And starting off with a subscription is basically like getting engaged. You're not married yet, but you're on the hook for the renewal, right?
Yeah.
And so I think one interesting thing I've seen is strategically brands using one-time purchases and subscriptions to do price anchoring. So they actually want you to buy the subscription, but they'll have the one-time product there, one-time purchase there to price anchor to make it feel like, well, why wouldn't I just get the subscription? But as a consumer on the practical side, oftentimes I'm like, well, I don't want to remember to have to cancel. I'm sure that maybe I can get them on the show, but I'm curious what they've found and if they ever started off as one-time or like samples or if they've always been subscription only. Their business model, obviously, because it's a probiotic, makes sense as a subscription. And it's one of those unique things where, like, you know exactly how often you need it. And so you don't have the challenges of, like, am I going to run out? And do I need more? But no, that's dope. And thank you for sharing that because I haven't seen this before.
Of course. They're a great business to research. They raise a lot of money and they're very successful. And they're a super well-researched business. And that's why I think it's a bold thing to do. But when you're confident in what you're offering and you actually as a founder, you know that like this is not a product that you can't regularly take and I want to force that onto my customers, then that's when you're able to take it. For me, it's the businesses who should definitely not do that are the ones who are using subscription as a way to experiment with conversion rate optimization, you know, and like driving up LTV and all that. This is not really what Seed, obviously the LTV is baked into their subscription, but Seed is like, this is the only way or the highway, and they've been that way since day one. So yeah, I think a good one to take notes from.
No, that's cool. I'll go through their sign up flow. And are you saying that their actual subscription experience itself is pretty sweet?
So I'm pretty sure it's powered by Recharge. I'd have to double check. Well, the checkout experience is very seamless, and that's mostly, I mean, it's a simple checkout experience, Shopify and all that. But the key thing is that the PDP experience is seamless because it's the only thing they sell. So that's quite clear. From a messaging, it's very clear and crisp. And then the actual management of the subscription, I haven't dealt with just yet, but we'll see. We'll see. I have to imagine it's going to be really solid because of, you know, how much weight there is on that experience being ideal. And that's kind of goes back to the point about having being super focused on one thing here, because they're subscription only, you can expect their subscription experience to modify orders, et cetera, to be perfect. Because if it isn't, then they're not going to go very far. And for a business that's got 60% of their orders coming off a one-off purchase, 40% coming off subscription, and then actually people doing subscription only because they want the discount and then they cancel and all that, you're busy doing a million things that you do, might not focus on creating the best possible ongoing subscription management experience. Here, they've got the luxury of being hyper-focused. So we'll see. I'll give you the update in like a month on what the experience is like, but I can't imagine it's going to be anything but pretty strong.
Got it. Yeah. And what about any other subscriptions you have?
I'm trying to think. Beverages. I have a subscription to Seltzer business. It's not Spindrift, but it's we had Ugly Drinks in London for a while. It's called Feel Goods. I think we have a subscription to Feel Goods, another business, but I think Seltzer businesses, it works really well. Subscription is a really perfect proposition for those types of businesses. And I actually think I manage one or two via Amazon. So I just subscribe via Amazon, which has been pretty handy.
It's funny though, is I find like the Amazon subscription experience, ironically, is not that great. Like you can't easily be like, okay, I need more of this thing right now, even though it's not coming for another few weeks, which is interesting.
I think we're still early days making it super seamless to stay subscribed to different propositions.
I'm curious. So you seem to be as someone who's been paying attention to a lot of what's happening and changing in e-commerce and D2C. I don't think we've ever mentioned Web3 on this podcast before, but I'll mention it now. Like, have you been paying attention at all to like different things that have been happening around ways for brands to, you know, we'll call it drive loyalty through whether it's web NFTs or Web3 or membership perks?
Yeah. Two things that come to mind there. I mean, one is the team at Novel. So novel.shop, that's the URL. You know, the Roger, he used to run Smarter. So he's super switched on in terms of loyalty, LTV, all those things. And very passionate about Web3. He's enabling, for the people who don't know, he's enabling brands to sell NFTs on their Shopify site and for consumers to be able to purchase those NFTs using a debit card. So you don't need to have like some sort of crazy complicated, you know, MetaMask wallet or anything like that. And then once you own the NFT, you can unlock perks related to your Shopify store, which is super brilliant, I find. Oh, there's been a great newsletter recently called Token Gated Commerce. It was written by, I think it was Packy. So that's what it's all about. Token gated commerce means using crypto assets to unlock new parts of a website. You know, it's like a membership essentially that gives you access to special perks. Novel is at the forefront of all that, and I think they're really interesting. Another one to look at is not necessarily in the Web3 space, but tackling something similar with memberships, and that's Conjured. Conjured memberships, they had two apps. One is Conjured Referrals, very popular referral software. And now they have this thing called Conjured Memberships. And Conjured Memberships is a way to, you add that on your Shopify store and you can start gating, maybe it's blog posts, maybe it's certain products, etc. So not powered by Web3 or, you know, NFTs or anything like that, but still has the same impact. So I would say, look at those two. It's definitely, people are excited about it, and it's not excited in a fad-y way. People are excited, as I'm seeing it, more in a way that's like, there's something big here. We can really innovate in the world of e-commerce, and we're only just scratching the surface. So let's keep digging. And, you know, we're going to speak with the people at, you know, Off Limits doing funny things with cereal. And then we're going to speak with, you know, maybe a couple other brands who are a little bit wacky and experimental. And over time, we'll figure out what works within NFTs or memberships and build the next wave of e-commerce businesses. So I still think that, like, you know, commerce as we know it today on Shopify and all that, pretty linear process, minus maybe subscription. And this kind of opens up really big new possibilities within the world of e-commerce. So I'm actually genuinely super excited about that whole space and people like Novel, people like Conjured memberships.
I've come across Conjured before, and we've done a fair amount just memberships and like providing, like one thing that we do at Jot is there's products that you can only get as a subscriber. So like Jot does like small batch artisanal coffees that they cycle out like every month or so. And so the only way to get it is as a subscriber. And there's like an awesome book. I don't know if you've read it, but it's called The Membership Economy.
No, I haven't seen it.
Yeah, it's great. And part of what the author's thesis is and what she talks about, she wrote it like 15 years ago, maybe 10 years ago at this point. Doesn't matter. It's a rounding error. But she was talking about how membership is the umbrella and like subscriptions are a subset of membership, right? And that subscriptions are really a business model. They're not a thing that consumers care about. They are the recurring revenue piece basically it's in the interest of the business. It's a business model. Whereas membership is much more sort of, again, at the higher level, like what's in it for the consumer. You know, that's a business model. It's been, I wouldn't say old as time, but Costco comes to mind, and obviously everyone knows Amazon and Amazon Prime, and it'll be interesting to see how both subscriptions as well as membership, I'll say individually, as well as I would imagine there'll be a lot of overlap, how that evolves, and just seeing like what are the interesting ways that people are doing that.
Yeah, love that. And I've tweeted a few times already when I see a business shift from using the term subscription to using the term memberships, and more you're seeing brands go that direction. And, you know, maybe another thing to think about, I love looking at the world of D2C and then kind of taking a look at those same trends in other industries, just like you described, you know, Costco or something else. But like, you don't say you're subscribed to a gym. No one says that. You're a member. You got a membership to a gym.
You can't skip a gym membership typically.
Yeah, you can pause your membership. You know?
Yeah.
But you wouldn't say you're pausing your subscription. So I totally agree with what you're saying when it comes to like membership being at the top and subscriptions actually like, it's more of a technical term to describe a business model as opposed to like consumer facing lingo that makes you feel, you know, part of something.
It's interesting. And it's for better or for worse, something that I think a lot about. What are some other things that have like caught your eye or attention? Because I know we came in with sort of a bunch of different topics we could talk about. Anything that's particularly exciting to you or things that you're seeing happening in D2C outside of what we already talked about?
Yeah, I mean, there's a bunch of things. I'd say, I think there's a lot of improvement to be made on shipping internationally. That's one thing which I'm still kind of digging and learning about new players in the space and how people, you know, finding new ways to expand into other audiences that are not just local to their market. I think that's an interesting space to look at in general. And then I recently spoke with a really interesting team called Bounty. They're doing something in the UGC space, which I think has pretty big implications. So that's worth checking out. What basically they do is
cashback for sharing products, I think.
Yeah, cashback for posting TikTok videos of the products you receive. So let's say I buy my Jot coffee and I want to get cash back on it. Well, hey, it's going to be like, we're cool with giving you cash back. Just give us a ton of views on TikTok. And once I get my Jot coffee, I'm going to post a TikTok of myself drinking it. And if it somehow gets, 10,000 views or whatever, based on that CPM, I'm going to be able to get cash back on Jot. So, you know, just as I think about bigger trends, et cetera, I do think that it's not just, you know, a new tool to know. They are onto something that probably a bigger trend than that.
That's really interesting. Yeah, I had only heard of it, but I actually hadn't been to the site before.
Yeah, Jones Road is using it. The team at Dough Lashes is using it.
Yeah, I saw Dough Lashes was the first one. Yeah.
Yeah, they're making inroads with some good people.
Well, awesome, man. I'd say like one question I wanted to ask was like, do you have a big ask? Like, is there one thing that would change the trajectory of your business or your life that you could put out?
Okay, here's one. I'd love to unlock more funds on 1-800-DTC in a non-dilutive way. So for instance, Webflow, the website is built on Webflow. It's all no code. They've just raised a big round. And as part of that, they're going to give back to the community and invest in businesses, or like they have a community grant or something to invest in businesses that are powered by Webflow. And so I've been speaking to some people there. I'd love to be a part of that. and unlock a bit of funding from the Webflow team, because I'm super bullish on Webflow, love the tool so much. And that would help me a ton as a business, obviously, just kind of building this out, adding all the features that we've been talking about to help people find tools in a faster, more efficient way. So in terms of like what would change the trajectory, I would say
non-dilutive capital.
Non-dilutive capital.
Because the way that you do make money is through sponsored posts or sponsored tools and stuff, right? Is that right?
Yeah, there's a few different ways, but a lot of times people just want more exposure via the website. And, you know, I'm able to provide that in some non-intrusive ways for the customer.
Got it. And if people want to connect with you online or get in touch with you, what's the best way?
Well, you can connect with me via Twitter or even LinkedIn. So Twitter, my handle is TIM_MSK.
Yeah, we'll add it to the show notes.
Yeah, so you could find that, and then also provide my LinkedIn link in case you want to connect. And yeah, that's those are probably the two fastest ways.
We'll include both. Awesome, man. It was a lot of fun having you on the show. And yeah, if you're not already in the know, you should go out and check out 1-800-D2C, or what is it, 1H? What's your code name for it?
Yeah, 1H for the ones who are really on the inside, if you want.
On the inside?
Yeah.
All right. Well, now I'll call it 1H.
Cool.
All right, man. Thanks for coming on the show.
Great chatting. And yeah, man, keep doing what you're doing with Rodeo. So I love what you're up to.
Cool. Thank you.